Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Hola, buenos dias, guten Abend, bonjour, how are you? Great to be with you on a Thursday. It's the Kevin Herr Clambake. I'm Steve Jones, filling in for the next few years. Coming up today, we'll have on the show one of the members of the United States men's softball team that just competed at the Pan Am Games, who went to Warrior Run. We're looking forward to that. Ross and Sana, MLB Network, on today as well. Ross will be talking to us about the fact that you can eliminate the Houston Astros from the Cole Hamels sweepstakes. There are the Hamels sweepstakes not going smoothly at all for the Phillies. And we'll have Ross on to talk about that. Tomorrow, Jack Ham on the show. Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Next week, Adam Rittenberg, ESPN.com. Dave Jones, Patriot News, next week. And I believe we're going to get, I think it's Greg Brown. We're getting one of the Pirates announcers. I think it's Greg Brown we're getting next week, too. And returning to the show on August 10th, Monday, August 10th, besides me returning to the show.
I was hoping that was the case.
We'll also have Tony Knopp on the show. Tony Knopp, who in conjunction with me, destroyed your childhood.
That's true.
Because your romantic thought of sports died when you heard me every day talking about business and him confirming it all. Like, to you, the trade deadline was, wow, we got a guy. There's all sorts of ramifications you never thought of before. Let's start the show with a bang.
Ladies, five good IndyCar, six good IndyCar seconds?
No. All right. So, unless it's on this rundown here.
No, it's not on the rundown.
Okay. This is, and it should be sponsored, okay, the Kevin Herr Daily Memo, brought to you by, or the put title sponsor, presents the Kevin Herr Daily Sports Memo. Okay. Let's see what we've got. Let's see. Sage Karam, is he America's latest heartthrob?
I don't think that was on there.
What is this? What do you do? Why do you do this every day? Every day there's some IndyCar thing on here. Our crash
there was
is
not
fun.
An what IndyCar the, thing on there today.
Our crash is fun for the sport. What does that mean?
There is an IndyCar story. I just didn't add it to the rundown.
What story is that?
IndyCar is now adding a digital LED display on the vehicle so you can tell their place as you're watching it on television, similar to what they do with what they do in the GT series and in the Le Mans series. The 24 Hours of Daytona, they had it.
NASCAR has that on Danica Patrick locked in at 24.
I was going to say, it's always in the 20s. Even when she starts up front, it just automatically goes to 20. Yeah.
Scott Kazmir Trey, we'll talk more about that with Ross and Sana from MLB Network coming up. But that knocks, see, there's a domino effect to the Kazmir trade. The domino effect is simple. You can probably eliminate Hamels going to Houston, and it probably eliminates Johnny Cueto going to Houston, which means now Johnny Cueto goes someplace else, which might then affect where Cole Hamels goes.
Still say he goes to the Dodgers.
Dodgers are probably the number one destination. You're hearing rumors about the Cubs. That would be a bad trade, by the way. That CBS Sportsnet, you know, the one you read with the website where they just throw darts and Kevin uses the darts every day.
Yeah, that's it. It's only our affiliation.
Yeah, right. Baez strikes out too much, and he's coming off a broken finger. Why would you want to trade for him? Can you answer this?
This is
your personal sports lifeblood, so you tell me.
That's not quite true.
Okay. Brady and the NFL to settle. No. He's not going to settle.
Well, there's discussion.
You want to know what the reaction was to the settlement?
What was the reaction to the settlement?
My understanding from what I'm reading, the reaction was silence.
Well, I should say offered settlement. How about that? There was an offer of settlement.
Silence. He's not settling unless it's a fine. I don't blame him. He's at a stage of his career and his life. If I'm him and I think I'm fine, I fight it to the max. Not going to sit there and put up with some guy, some investigator from Miami who interviews 5,000 irrelevant people, and then you tell him what the deal is. Because he went in there, and it's supposedly the best advocate for Tom Brady when they went to do the appeal was Brady. He was direct to the point, and he countered everything. If that's me, and I'm in his shoes, and I feel strongly about my position in this thing, I sue too.
I disagree with one of the things that Mike Florio said, and he was filling in for Dan Patrick earlier today. Florio was talking about the suspension being that he might let it go if the suspension was related to being uncooperative with the investigation regarding the cell phone. I don't believe Brady should have handed over his cell phone.
I don't either.
Unless the NFL and or the Patriots are paying for his cell phone, he should not have to hand it over if he does not want to.
Right. I mean, and I agree with that completely. Now, for example, if Roger were to say to me as an employee of the station, you know, I need to see your cell phone, I would hand it to him. And the reason I would do that is I trust Roger. Okay. This is a case where, okay, if Ted Wells wanted to see my cell phone, I'd tell him to call Verizon and get a plan.
You go get a court order, and maybe
you get a
we'll
court
talk.
Order, we'll talk, all right? But, for example, within our own station, if Roger said, Steve, I really need to see it, sure, I'm not, here you go. Total complete trust.
If the FCC said, I need to see your phone, I wouldn't offer it that way. Because that's the relationship we're talking about here.
No. If the FCC asks to see my phone, I tell them to take it, and, okay? I chuck it in the river, get a new one. The same phone I'd hand over to Roger in a heartbeat as the owner of the station, I would not hand to the FCC. Because there's no trust. I'm not handling it to a total stranger. No way.
And that's the comparison that we have. I mean, it's the NFL that's asking for his cell phone, not the Patriots. And I think that's a comparison that makes sense. You know, instead of the owner of the radio station asking for it, the FCC's asking for it, the organization that runs everything or controls it. I think that's a comparison that's legitimate. But again, no way would I have handed that over.
Oh, yeah. If it's somebody I trust... No issue. Somebody I don't trust? Absolutely not. Get away from me, okay? Let's see. Mike Tomlin gets a contract extension. 2 years. He's won a Super Bowl, gets into the playoffs.
I was not surprised by that announcement today.
If you have Here's the next Kevin thing. If you have ESPN's Insider, how do you feel about the totally, completely irrelevant quarterback rankings?
I didn't know if you had seen that.
No, I had not. But you know me. Lists are like, okay, fine. Whatever. Lists are fun. It's good talk show fodder. Okay, you think Rodgers is the best. You think Brady's the best. Well, whatever. It's all subjective. It's all subjective. It's all a big guess. I mean, you know, where does Joe Flacco fit in? Look, if you're a Ravens fan, he's your guy. You're a Steelers fan, Roethlisberger's your guy, and you worship at the number seven altar, which you do.
So. Well, if you go by the ratings, given by Madden 16, which, by the way, is being released shortly.
It's a video game.
Aaron Rodgers is a 99. Tom Brady is a 97 with throw accuracy of medium. Let's see.
Did you buy this?
No, I haven't yet. I have not.
Are you going to?
I don't know, because Ben Roethlisberger's fourth, and his strength is 85. He's 95 throw on the run, 94 throw power. I might have to, just because of Roethlisberger's.
Who's three?
Number.
Who's three? Andrew Luck?
Drew Brees.
Drew Brees? Okay.
Yeah. Andrew Luck is five, tied with Big Ben with a 95 throw on the run.
You know how I feel about these.
Well, actually, I don't think I can get 16. I think they're only making it for the Xbox One, and I don't have one of those.
Well, just go buy one.
Yeah, that's not happening. Although, Steve, Christmas is coming, and I'd be more than happy to receive the gift.
Well, I'm sure your wife's listening. All right. Eagles report says Bradford will be healthy. What happens for the Eagles if he isn't ready? Well, that's why they have Mark Sanchez. Okay, that one's done.
No, really? Okay. Do you really think Mark Sanchez runs that offense?
Well, he's there for a reason. First of all, Bradford's going to be healthy because they would not have traded for him and going through the physical if they didn't tell him that he was going to be okay. This Harvard thing now is something that's, is this the one that predicts?
Yes.
Okay. Did you watch the bowl games last year?
I watched a few of them. Yeah. I can't say I watched them all.
Okay. Did Harvard make the bowl game?
They don't go to bowl games. They don't even go to the FCS championship. That's a choice. It's not because they couldn't. They could have. They chose not to.
Hey, guess what? Hey, I don't want to read a Harvard study about what they think about the NFL. Football's not their bag.
I don't know. They had a pretty darn good football season last year.
In relative terms. Okay.
I'm not saying they're not playing FBS level. No.
No. I mean,
they didn't lose a game.
They beat Yale. They beat Yale. Yeah. I remember when Joe Rustic was their coach. They're actually pretty good then. Let's see. They predict the Dolphins versus the Giants in the Super Bowl. Is that what they predict?
That's the way I understood it, yes. That the Dolphins will be the best team in the AFC East, followed by the Chiefs and Patriots.
They know that the Chiefs are not in the AFC East, right?
No, they'll be the best team in the AFC. Sorry, I added East. That was my mistake.
Okay. So the Giants are the number 13 team and the highest ranked team in the NFC East over the Cowboys and the Eagles.
The prediction model is predicting that the Dolphins will be the best team in the AFC, followed by the Chiefs and Patriots.
Let's see. They say that the Seahawks are 1, Green Bay's 2, the Dolphins are 3. Kansas City 4, New England 5, Denver 6, Detroit 7, the Jets are 8.
I think that's pretty high for the Jets, but you know, that's just me.
Indianapolis is 9, Buffalo's 10, the Steelers are 11, Houston's 12, the Giants are 13, the Bengals are 14, the Eagles are 15, the Cowboys are 16, San Diego 17, Atlanta 18, the Saints are 19, Arizona's 20, Bears 21, Redskins 22, Carolina 23, Cleveland 24, Vikings 25, 49ers 26, Rams 27, Ravens 28, the Jags are 29, Tampa Bay is 30, Tennessee 31, and Oakland is 32.
The method uses Pro Football Reference's approximate value statistic, the site's best measure of trying to tease out individual talent, then using ESPN's NFL depth chart. He aggregates each team per game appropriate value of the core makeup of a team, the quarterback, running back, two wide receivers, tight end, top two offensive linemen, and four front seven defensive players, and the top two players from the secondary.
Let me put it to you this way as we head into break. If I need pediatric cancer solved, I turn to Harvard. If I need something about football, I turn elsewhere. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The record will be broken. That's right. The 100-year record is going to be broken this month if Sunbury Motors sells 80 new Fords by July 31st. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Focus for $16,863. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Ford Escape for $19,993. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new F-150 4x4 for under 30 grand. Sunbury Motors isn't taking this record lightly. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you owe it to yourself to go to Sunbury Motors before August 1st. If you want 0% on your next 2015 Focus, Fusion, Escape, Explorer, or Expedition, SMC is where you want to be. Sunbury Motors will sell 80 new Fords by July 31st. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC is where you want to be to save more money on your next new Ford.
Kevin is so determined to give the Pan Am Games any kind of publicity. Aren't you?
I just think it's cool that we have somebody locally that participated.
Yes. We'll be talking about men's softball. I mean, ones where like they pitch the ball like really fast. There are no kegs at bases.
Not that kind of softball. Fell one game short, actually a one run short of being in medal, of being a medal winner.
And yes, the Pan Am Games still exist. For now.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And today's broadcast extravaganza is from the Sunbury Motors Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And joining us, someone who probably has never been on a broadcast extravaganza before until now, is Derek Zechman from the United States men's softball team, who's now with his club team in Ohio. He's also a Warrior Run graduate. Derek, great to have you with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
All right. What was the experience like for you at the Pan Am Games? How would you describe it?
Unbelievable experience to be there with all the other athletes and representing your country. Just an amazing opportunity and to be in the village with all the other athletes and meet some pretty famous people.
How did Toronto treat the Pan Am Games?
It was first class. They did a great job in hosting the event. I mean, the stadium, the village, the opening ceremonies were amazing. Now the Canadians, they have a little grudge against the U.S. here. I mean, there's some great competition with them in all the sports, but overall, it was a great experience, and they did a great job hosting the event, which is still going on as we speak.
Who did you check off on the celebrity list? Because you mentioned that in your first answer.
Jim Tracy, who was a manager with the Rockies and Dodgers. I spoke with him pretty much every day in the village, and there was a little lounge, and we talked and shared some stories. He would always get updates on how we're doing, and he was the head coach of the baseball team. In the players' lounge at Ajax, we didn't play right in Toronto, but it was about 30 minutes without traffic where we played. But in the players' lounge where all the baseball and softball players would go in before the games or after the games and get a bite to eat or just relax, there was Carlos Delgado, Carlos Baerga, and Roberto Alomar, who was coaching Puerto Rico.
Wow. Very nice. Jim Tracy came around here often, by the way, in State College because his son Brian pitched for the minor league State College Spikes here, so we saw Jim often. Good man.
Oh, yeah, he's a great guy. Great guy. And started talking about, like, Steve Klein. He coached Steve Klein. He wanted me to make sure I reach out to Steve and tell him he said hi. He coached him when he was up in the Expos.
Absolutely. Okay, let me ask you about the softball part of it. Softball's not a high school sport. It ends up being a club sport, an AAU sport. How did you transition into softball?
Basically, I got started through my dad, who played. I've pretty much grown up around a fast-pitch softball back in the day where it was very popular, where every town had a league or teams. And I loved the sport from, you know, day one when I was a little kid following my dad. And then I started playing baseball all the way up through, but I was fortunate enough to be able to play softball with my dad on the same team before he retired, back when it was popular, you know, playing in Milton, you know, Danville and stuff like that. But that's how I got introduced to the game through my father.
You're with your club team right now. What was the process for making the U.S. team for you?
The U.S. team, I made it back in 2013, I believe. Actually, it started here in Ashland, Ohio, where I'm at right now. I was invited to a selection camp where they had like 30 players and all from all across the country. And it was after a national tournament. The 30 players that were invited, they stayed, and there was like a 3-4-day camp here in Ashland. And they have a committee that comes in. The people on the board, and I made the team based off of how I did in the tournaments and how I performed here at the camp. And then you had to try out again just because you were on the team for the – I was on for the cycle that when we went to New Zealand. We had another camp in California in January. I think they had 28 different players go out to Irvine in California, and that was like a weekend camp. They put us through the ringer there and selected the team for this year, which we were in the ISF World Championships in Saskatoon, Canada. I got back. I was there about 2 weeks and got home for a couple of days and then flew back out for the Pan Am Games in Toronto. So unfortunately, we're one away from the medal in the Pan Am's, a heartbreaking loss to Venezuela, 1-0, who ended up getting second. Mm-hmm. The season for the USA for the fast pitch softball team is done for this year. I was at a meeting out here with the ASA reps in Ashland, and they advised us that as of now, the men's fast pitch will be in the next Pan Am Games in Peru, and they are really pushing, as long as the women's get in for the Olympics, that in 2024, they think that men's softball will be in the Olympics along with women's baseball.
Wow. That'd be terrific if it happened. And then, so the Pan Am Games in Peru, that'll be what, 2019, correct?
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. All right. Where is the power in men's softball right now? What hurdle does the United States have to clear? I know you're talking about it was a tough 1-0 loss to Venezuela, and they were second. Where's the power right now in the sport?
The power is in pitching. I mean, it all comes down to pitching. these countries, I mean, they're deep in pitching. Our pitching wasn't the problem for us, actually. It was scoring runs. We're facing the best pitchers in the world, and every time we went out to play up in the Pan Ams, we got every country's number one. We carried three different pitchers. One of the pitchers is definitely retiring. He was done after the Pan Ams. So we have lack of pitching, like depth. There's a lot of young kids not playing fast pitch softball. A lot of them aren't aware of it. And when I tell people that I play softball, the people that don't know me, they think it's slow pitch. There's a lot more people playing slow pitch, and, you know, I don't know, you know, if it wasn't for my dad playing, you know, I might have been in the same boat. But it's basically men playing Little League with a softball. You know, you bunt, steal, or you do it all. You know, the defense and everything else like that.
Which countries excel at this in our region, the Pan Am Games? Which countries excel at this in the world?
The countries, Canada had a clean sweep. They won the ISF World Championships in Saskatoon, and then they turn around and go undefeated at the Pan Ams. And we took them an extra innings, our second game, and we had a chance to win it in the seventh inning. And fortunately, we didn't get it done, and we lost to them 3-2. And that was a momentum and big difference maker, you know, having that game. But New Zealand, which they don't participate in the Pan Ams, they got second at Saskatoon. They have a really good team. Their national team is like their Major League Baseball club over there. They train pretty much all year round, the Black Sox team. Venezuela, they have a really good pitcher, and the pitcher is actually on my club team here playing with the PA Power here at Ashland this weekend.
What's it like being in a sport where you have to explain to people, hey, look, you know, this is fast pitch, it's not slow pitch? And what has the publicity of the Pan Am Games maybe done for the sport in this country?
I think it definitely is helping the sport. Being in the Pan Am Games really got us some publicity. The only problem was the Pan Am's, like, it's not like softball. Men's softball is on TV. The women's, they draw a lot of attention, and they're on TV, and they really help matters. So if the women get back in the Olympics, there's a lot more funding money, which will also help with the men's game. So I wouldn't say it's frustrating. It's a great game, and a lot of the women like to watch the men play because, I mean, they're in that same sport and see the different pitching and so on and so forth. And the same way goes for us men that play. I mean, a lot of the men that are currently playing and guys that are on the team coach college or Division I coaches, and they follow the women's game and, you know, go to the World Series. And, I mean, there's a lot of coaches out here in Ashland that, you know, been to the World Series to help coach teams. So it's pretty cool.
You mentioned 2024 as an opportunity for maybe men's softball along with women's baseball to get into the Olympics. For exposure in this country, what would it mean for that moment to happen?
The exposure, it would be unbelievable, and it starts with getting the women's back in the game, which back in the Olympics, which I think I feel confident that's going to get done. I mean, they're really promoting it across the country. If they got Olympics back in, I think that would be an eye opener. There would be, you know, Major League Baseball players that, you know, might have retired or something that would maybe be interested in trying to make the team to be on an Olympic team. That would really, the sport needs that. It's a dying sport that, you know, not enough players and guys are playing anymore like there was 10 years ago. And there's not enough young pitching, and, you know, it would be instrumental if they could get that in the Olympics. I think that would be huge for not only, you know, the women, but for the men.
Where can your sport, men's softball, develop the young pitchers that can then eventually make an impact? How, you're in this all the time. Where can it happen, Derek?
They're doing a better job now. Some changes, they actually have the board, and they have a junior program, and I believe you have to be 19 or under for the junior program, and there's actually a camp going on this weekend in Midland, Michigan, They invited kids from across the country, and a lot of these kids are in high school yet playing baseball. And I know Pennsylvania probably has 5 or 6 kids that are going to be attending this camp. And it starts in leagues. There's a really good league in Lancaster, a town called Stevens, Pennsylvania. They have a lot of Mennonite kids and a lot of talent down in that league, but there's not too many, you know, leagues around here. I know Jersey Shore has a league in Williamsport, but it's not like it used to be. But if there's someone that wants to play the game, if they get in contact with the right person or sees them, you know, they have basically the committee has scouts. So they send scouts out to different tournaments, but if these kids aren't aware of it, they'll never be seen. And that's the tough part.
What was it about growing up in the Valley, being a Warrior Run guy, that helped form you as to where you are today?
Oh, being in the Susquehanna Valley is an awesome place. I've been here my whole life. It basically made me who I am today. Just great with the competition and being able to play with, when I was 16 years old is when I started playing fast pitch. Playing against these adults that have been playing, it really helped me. I stuck with the game, and I'm getting rewarded for it now.
Well, we're proud that you represent the United States and did it so well with such class. And we hope that 2024 does make it, and I hope you make it down to Peru in 2019 for the next Pan Am Games. Thanks a lot for the time, Derek, and I hope it's not the last time we talk.
All right. Sounds good, Steve. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, that was a lot of fun. It really was. To really get there and talk about something that, Kevin, it's one thing that the Pan Am Games been able to do. They get some sports out there that maybe don't get quite the publicity they should. And for Derek Zechman, I think it was great that we could have him on today and talk with him about men's softball. And, you know, he represented the country with tremendous dignity. So we give Derek a lot of credit for that. And he represented the Valley with a lot of dignity as well. We appreciate that very much. Kevin's complete analysis of the interview is just moments away. But first, this break on News Radio 1070 WKIV.
The record will be broken. That's right, the 100-year record is going to be broken this month if Sunbury Motors sells 80 new Fords by July 31st. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Focus for $16,863. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new Ford Escape for $19,993. SMC is where you want to be if you want a new F-150 4x4 for under 30 grand. Sunbury Motors isn't taking this record lightly. If you're in the market for a new vehicle, you owe it to yourself to go to Sunbury Motors before August 1st. If you want 0% on your next 2015 Focus, Fusion, Escape, Explorer, or Expedition, SMC is where you want to be. Sunbury Motors will sell 80 new Fords by July 31st. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza. SMC is where you want to be to save more money on your next new Ford.
Tearing up.
It's a great piece of music.
Are you tearing up?
Actually, I'm trying to talk Daniel's band director into playing this next year because it's an Olympic year.
Nothing like dealing with a parent.
Well, I'm not saying he has to. It was just a suggestion. He actually liked the suggestion.
Nothing like dealing with a parent. I think you should do this.
I said, listen, 2016 is an Olympic year. It would be cool.
Just sit back in the stands and listen.
I said, it would be cool if you did some John Williams. And he goes, ooh, Summon the Heroes. Good idea. Olympic Spirit. That's another good one.
Star Wars. Movie's coming out this year.
John Williams? It is John Williams. That's right.
Star Wars. Bill Murray. Star Wars.
Wish they would Bar Wars.
Oh, God. All right. Ross and Sana, MLB Network, next half hour on Major League Baseball trades. The
Phillies got aced out with the Houston Astros. That's done. Scott Kazmir picked up today. The Astros, in all likelihood, are done now with their trades. The Phillies continue to be on that incredible roll. Chase Utley should have traded him last year. Didn't.
Now Moran. It's time to retire.
Why? Because he'd just be a Philly his whole life?
That's right.
You know what? This is what you need to understand. Okay? You know how players look at teams now?
I don't
there
know.
There are 30 of them. Okay? Just got to be on one of them. Staying in one place for a while, fine. But if you got to go someplace else, you go someplace else, as long as it's one of the 30.
Well, he may be going to Los Angeles soon, and not the Dodgers. It's not Los Angeles, but one of the other California teams.
They're not going to get as much for him as they could have a year ago.
No argument. The Angels are looking, though, and monitoring Chase Utley's progress, so they are interested.
Well, Rob Manfred, by the way, is talking about moving back the trade deadline. They probably ought to have it moved back to like August 15th or something like that.
Why did they pick this time? Why did they pick
2 months ago? Because it makes it clean. If you go to the end of July, see, all this is being able to trade without clearing waivers. You can just make the trade. You can still make trades from August 1st to August 31st. But you have to have the player clear waivers first.
Right.
I mean, any players involved on both sides have to clear waivers first. And that's – so they probably just – because it used to be earlier than July 31st. I want to say it used to be like July 15th without waivers. This is back 20 years ago. Now it's July 31st. They probably have to push it back to like August 15th and then have it like be a two-week area without waivers until – August 31.
I mean, I think August 31st is too far because now you're getting into postseason run, and well, you don't want to do that.
Baseball is the only sport where everybody can expand the rosters from 25 to 40. Now you have guys influencing races left and right.
I don't get that. I mean, I know the minor league season comes out. Why can you bring all these guys up? I don't get that.
Player development.
Isn't that what the minor leagues are for? Maybe the minor leagues should go longer.
Hey, by the way, on the after show today, Kevin's going to have his rankings 1 through 32 of all the NFL quarterbacks. That'll be at 5:06 on the after show.
I think there will be a Cincinnati quarterback that will be in the bottom five.
You can't put Andy Dalton in the bottom five.
It's my rankings. I can put him wherever I darn please. You did not say that it was going to be my rankings based on, you know, a theory or based on performance. This is just my list of quarterbacks.
He's probably somewhere between 10 and 17.
I'll agree with 17 plus another 10.
You know, if he was a complete dolt at quarterback, as you're suggesting, they wouldn't make the playoffs.
He's ahead of Geno Smith.
Well, America's only head versus heart show continues.
Bet you can't guess who number one is.
What bothers me is Bruce Gradkowski's number two for you.
No.